appreciate your time. What is something that sticks in your mind the most, the championships you won or the ones that got away?
Well, the nature of a professional athlete is one that you always, especially the defensive guy, you think about the ones you miss, you know. But it bugs you. It bothers you to no end that you could have might have done something else to change the outcome. But also, I do respect games that I've won, though. I think of those occasionally. But to be honest with you, you're haunted by, like, running into an official on a trap play that I had Franco Harris dead to right, and they got a touchdown out of it. Jackie Smith dropping a pass in the end zone. See that? That's vivid. You remember that. Of course, I can't do anything about that. But in the first Super Bowl I played in, we had the game, and they got a turnover right at the very end, and they converted a field goal and lost. So it was, every little thing makes you more conscientious about doing the stuff the right way the next time you get there. That's how you're haunted with it. So.
When you came in, you replaced Cornell Green. Were you ever intimidated to replace people when you were on the Cowboys, or was it just you didn't have to think about it, you just kind of had to go?
I was groomed. I ended up playing two other positions before I took Cornell Green's place. But I had an ultimate amount of respect for him. We locked right next door to each other. And I loved him as a person, and I had a lot of respect for him. But I played free safety for 2 years, and then I played corner for 3 years before I finally got a chance to play strong safety. And that was the position I was grooming for. And because I got to play the other two positions, I understood exactly what all the techniques were and how, you know, the problems you can get in. And it really helped me as far as how I could help other players. And I controlled the defense as far as what was being called, because Landry had a lot of little tricks and stuff with his defenses, and you had to know an awful lot about offense to run the defensive team. He used to say, the more you know about offense, the better defensive player you were. So, but yeah, Cornell never intimidated me. It wasn't that kind of situation. But I did have to wait 5 years before I got to play strong safety.
Charlie, as you well know, I'm sure, there's still a large portion of the Cowboys fan base that is still mad about the end of the Landry era. Is it kind of amazing to you, or how often do people still chime in and talk about Coach Landry to you and just their love for him?
I got a picture of Coach Landry the other day, found in my archives, and I made four copies of it and sent one to Leroy, Jordan, Roger Staubach, and Cliff Harris. It was the first man who was just standing on the sidelines with his coat and tie, you know, and a hat, and everybody just around him like little puppy dogs, you know. And he was really, really special. It was a great time. We all knew it was a special time when we had him, when he was with us. I just wish that he would not handled both sides of the ball. I don't know if you know this or not, but he handled both sides of the ball as far as making the game plans. And I wanted him to concentrate completely on defense and let Dan Reeves run the offense or something, you know, because Coach Landry was a wizard. I mean, he was brilliant and very stoic. And so I hold him in high regard. I know the fans, there's no easy way out to get him gone. And if Mr. Jones needed to get him gone, and he had to get him gone. So that's part of the deal when he bought the team. So
the latest,
more power to him.
Yeah, the flex defense with what you guys ran, what made it so special?
Well, the goofiest thing about it was that you had two defensive linemen sitting, you know, in a four-point stance about 2 yards off the ball. Off the ball. Two out of the four linemen were two yards, not crowding the line of scrimmage. It was built to defeat and run. The Green Bay Packer and run, pulling guards. And as the concept was that the linemen that were in the flex position, which is 2 yards off the ball, Randy White, can you imagine this? He has to read what the linemen are doing before he made his move instead of just automatically pass rushing. Now, we used to play a pass rush when it was obvious passing down, but the flex defense was complicated as everything. And if you don't do it exactly the way the lady wanted you to do it, you weren't going to play. And he didn't encourage you to do it on your own. So he said, if you ever do something on your own, it better work out for you. I mean, it better be the best thing, and you better make the play, because you have to do it the way the defense is. Everybody understood that, and it was just the way it was. And he was a genius on offense, and the reason why he could come up with those offensive formations, and he was the first one to use a back out of the backfield as a wide receiver. And he knew that was a difficult situation for defensive backs or linebackers to be able to cover, you know, like a Preston Pearson coming out of the backfield. So he just was – you just never questioned him, and loved him. I loved him to death.
Other great coaches, you know, in their coaching tree, people have been able to kind of almost exactly copy what they did. But particularly the flex defense, people could take concepts from it, but no one could ever call it like him. How strange is that, that it was strange. Just in his mind that it worked that way?
You know, there was only one other coach that used the flex defense when he became a head coach, and it was one of Coach Landry's assistants, Dick Nolan, was in charge of the defensive team in the late 60s. And he learned the flex defense. And when he became the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, he introduced them to play the flex defense. Now, I don't think it was quite as complicated, but he did. They did have a guy sitting in the frog stance, you know, for like two to three yards off the ball. And Dick Nolan was the only person to ever use it, and I don't think he won a championship with it, but he did have great success. As a matter of fact, Dick Nolan is the dad of Mike Nolan, who is now the new defensive coordinator with the Cowboys. And so Mike's from a great pedigree with Dick Nolan and his history here with Tom Landry. So. Dick Nolan's not good. Mike Nolan's not going to be playing the flex defense. I'll tell you that for sure.
Nope.
He gets after it. Yeah, he gets after it. He's quite the coach. I know. I love Mike. I worked with Mike for 7 years. He's really a special coach.
Charlie, I apologize for getting away from the Cowboys for just a second, but you're a Clemson guy, and to see the rise of that program under Dabo these last few years in particular, always a program that, you know, had a national title back in the day, but it had been a while, and to see just how consistent, how good, and how they're really 1A, 1B with Alabama right now amongst college programs, what's that been like as a former player and as a fan, obviously?
It's so rewarding. It's so much fun. Matter of fact, I got inducted to the South Carolina Football Hall of Fame. I'm getting inducted this year, and they've canceled it or pushed it back a little bit because of the coronavirus thing. So I was looking forward to going back to Clemson. But Dabo's got Gene Stallings all over him, because Gene Stallings taught Dabo how to coach. Mm-hmm. That's how he learned how to do it. And Gene Stallings was my coach for the longest time. And I'm saying that Gene Stallings is the best coach I ever had. Sans Tom Landry. I'm real proud of what Clemson's doing. I support him, and I look forward to getting back to that part of the country someday. I don't know whether I'll go it. go back anytime soon.
Hopefully.
But I'm in their Hall of Fame, the Clemson Hall of Fame.
In 1981, you were inducted. That was a year, I think, after they won the national title, or maybe that was the year that they beat Nebraska to win the national title.
That's right. That's exactly right. I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Charlie, your running buddy and Cliff Harris is going to be inducted, if in fact that happens this summer. We don't know, but he's going to join us tomorrow. You have to give us, and I can't imagine you have enough time. You probably have hours upon hours.
I do.
You want to just kind of reminisce about him and you and the two great safeties and the fact he's getting in, and it helps, again, kind of bring back some of the greatness of those teams under Landry?
He was a force to be reckoned with, and the reason, I think one of the reasons, or a really good reason, why he is deserving to be in the Hall of Fame is that usually when the quarterback gets to the line of scrimmage, they maybe call, you know, what the front is, where the middle linebacker is, or, you know who's where Randy White is, or that. But that wasn't the case. Every quarterback, when he got the line of scrimmage, they pointed out where, there's 43, here he is. like he was warning all the guys on his, all the wide receivers that are going across the middle that they don't need to get in that territory where Cliff is. So, because it was a collision going to happen, and he was dangerous as far as collateral damage. I mean, that's what we called it, because when he hit somebody, two or three people would have to, on our defensive team, would probably get hit just about as badly. Herb Adderley grabbed his jersey one time and says, "Cliff, I'm wearing the same jersey you are. Quit hitting me."
Oh my God!
Yeah, he was. But yeah, that's why I'm saying that the quarterbacks would point out where Cliff was, and that's when I said, "Hey, this guy's deserving. Nobody, you're worthy of Hall of Fame numbers when you get pointed out by the quarterback of where you are on every snap." Because you want to warn those wide receivers that you don't want to get into that territory.
Charlie, what is our guest, the great Cowboy safety, with us on Sikkim 365 Radio? Paul?
You mentioned Gene Stallings, and I'll just – a quick story from early in my career. I remember calling him on the phone to get him on the radio show I was on at the time and hearing that deep voice. Was that voice calming or nerve-wracking when you heard it?
It was – Gene's got a slow delivery, and he makes you understand that there's a reason why he's talking like that, because he wants you to know what he's talking about. But in the game that we played against the Minnesota Viking Hail Mary game, near the end of the game, I went to the sidelines. Timeout was called, and it was third and two, and they'd already run a short yardage play before that and had converted the third down. If we didn't get the ball back on the third down play, then, the game was over because they were going to run out the clock. And there would have never been a Hail Mary. So I get on the sidelines and I ask Gene, I said, "Gene, because it was timeout called. I said, you and I both know what Tarkin is going to run on this play." And I asked him, I said, "Do you think I could, if you would let me, instead, I just abandoned what I'm supposed to do, instead of meeting the lead blocker and turning the play in, Tarkin is going to run an option pass, runner pass, and he's going to get the first down." I said, "Would it be okay if I just kind of try to dodge this fullback and maybe corral Tarkin?" And Gene says, "Well," he gets eye contact with me, and he gives me a serious eye contact. "Well, Charles, hell, if you don't make the play, we're both going to get fired." and I felt really inspired to go back out on the field. I'm thinking, "Oh, I'm going to get in trouble if I don't make this play." So,
you did the draw and everything. You did the Gene Stallings. That's fantastic.
We used to laugh. Cliff and I used to laugh. So Gene used to say, "Now, Charles," he never called me Charles. I felt like I was in trouble. He said, "Don't ever, this is just a little thing, but don't ever turn your back to the line of scrimmage." Mm. And I said, you know, Gene, that is just a little thing.
Yeah, it's like when your mother.
Yeah, I love Gene Stallings. He's a great coach.
It's like when your mother says your middle name. It's yeah. Paul Anthony Catalina. Yeah. Then you know.
Yeah, that's it. You're in trouble. You don't even know what you did wrong, but you know you're in trouble.
you were a part of that memorable Cowboys comeback when Staubach hit Tony Hill to beat Washington in 79, mm-hmm. the broadcast, and then you dabbled in that. You were on television. You also did some Cowboys color. How sometimes, because you play the game, you would do that much better than any of us, no matter if we would broadcast whatever. But was that more difficult at times than you thought, or was it just natural?
You know, I had a lot to say, you know, and it's hard to wrap it up into a short little thing every time. But the one thing I didn't particularly like about it, because I was been trained under Coach Landry that, you know, you get a job, you have a job to do, you try to do it, and then you get critiqued to see how well you did it. And then you can do it better and you can improve yourself. Well, they never did that with me on the television, you know. I never got anybody to critique me. You know, analyze what I had said, and let's go over this a little bit here, and maybe you could do this, that, and that. So I was a little disappointed in you know, not trying to get my full potential out of what I thought might happen, because, you know, I knew an awful lot about. I was a quarterback in college and never made a tackle in my life till I came to the pros. And as I said, I played corner and then free safety and then strong safety. And I played quarterback in college. I played wide receiver in college. So I knew a lot about everything. But I didn't do very – I never had a big career as an analyst. So it disappointed me that I guess I should have taken the initiative and asked somebody to help me, you know, because I must not have been doing it well enough.
One more thing, if you don't mind. Charlie Waters, the great Charlie Waters, with us on Sikkim 365 Radio. 12 years in the NFL. You only missed the playoffs in the 74 team. You were a part of those Super Bowls, in fact, five of them. You've seen what the Patriots have done, and, of course, things are changing. Brady is now in Tampa. The longevity of nearly two decades, is that really about the only place that's matched what the Landry Cowboys were able to do for so long, from the mid-60s until the early 80s?
Yeah. You know, Pittsburgh's got a great history, too.
Yeah.
You know, they won more Super Bowls than we did, but we played more in more Super Bowls than they did. And we were the team, and we should have been a team in the 70s, but Pittsburgh was, because they won, I think, three Super Bowls. So, you know, it's like I said on the broadcast when we first started the show, you remember the games you lost a lot. It just pounds on you so much. So, yeah, it's not a good – I like to win, and it's always that way.
And you did. And Charlie, thanks for being a part of our debut week of this show. I really do appreciate you reaching back out to me.
Well, this is your debut?
Well, we started Monday. This is our first week, and we
great.
Yeah, and we wanted to, and the owners of the site, when they reached out to us, they said, we as a Baylor fan site, a website, message boards and all that, but they do an amazing job with a lot of podcast and video. It's incredible. But when they reached out to us, they said, listen, you cover Baylor like you were before when you were in radio, but we want you to continue to do what you did with our commitment to the Cowboys. And we had John Daniels of the Rangers on earlier today, and we have an incredible, and we will have a massive amount of high school football coverage. And this has been fantastic to have you and the week that we've had, and it's great to have you on.
Well, thank you very much. I look forward to I'm inducted in Cliff in the Hall of Fame. And, you know, they're coming to my house and filming something.
Wow.
And we're doing it that way this year, and then we're going up to the actual ceremony and having a short, you make a little short comment up there. But yeah, it was really an honor that Cliff chose me to induct him. So I'm looking forward to it.
I hope
he's very special. That guy is very special.
I hope by the time that we're supposed to have the Pro Football Hall of Fame induction in Canton that everything at least is getting back to normal. Thank you so much, Charlie. We appreciate
it. Thank you, guys. Good luck to y'all.
Thank you. That's Charlie Waters.
Congratulations.
Played for the Cowboys from 1970 to 1970.